Okay, each of you gentlemen have 2 minutes to make an opening statement. We'll start with Mr. Caffey.
Ward 5, I am so grateful for each and every single one of you. I am so thrilled that you chose me as the top vote getter in the preliminary election. None of this would have been possible without your support, the support of my hardworking staff, my loving family, and my amazing friends. For those of you I still haven't had the opportunity to speak with, while knocking on 1,848 doors, I was born and raised in Pittsfield, and I was educated through the public school system. I was a graduate of Taconic High School's Academy of Business Management. I went on to become a graduate of Westfield State University, where I received a Bachelor's of Science in Business Management. While attending university, I was promoted to the store manager's position at Ben & Jerry's Pittsfield, where in 2015, I was awarded the Manager of the Year Award, which covers 44 countries and is an international award given to those who have shown outstanding management skills. Shortly after, I moved to Colorado for work. After figuratively and literally climbing mountains out west, I chose to come back east to pursue my master's. After returning to the area, I noticed that the jobs that I was applying to in my field were compensating a bit lower than what you would see for a city of this size in the Northeast region, so I had an internal dilemma. Do I leave the area and move to Boston or New York like the majority of my friends, or do I try and fix the problem? I chose to try and fix the problem. I have big ideas for the future of Pittsfield, for the state of Massachusetts, and the future of our country. How do I bring these goals to fruition? I thought I could go the corporate way and try and grow a company, instill some positive change, really dig my feet in there. I dipped my toes in and decided it wasn't the correct path for me. Instead, I think politics is the right path. There is momentum building in the city. There is a lot happening under the surface, and for us to get from where we are now to where we need to be and where our vision is. Wrap it up? Okay. Ward 5. My team went neighborhood by neighborhood, street by street, door by door, speaking to the residents, getting to know you, hearing your concerns, and letting you know that I'm ready to work for you.
Okay,
it's time
for
fresh new ideas, new voices. To the voters of Ward 5, I am so grateful for you, and I look forward to seeing you at the polls on Tuesday. Thank you.
Mr. Lothrop.
Thank you, Mr. Parente. Thank you to Pittsfield Gazette, BCC, for hosting this event. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Jonathan Lothrop, and I had the pleasure of being the Ward 5 City Councilor for 12 years. About 4 years ago, I stepped back because our youngest daughter was in high school, and I wanted to spend a little more time with her before she's out of the house, and those are precious years. So this year, coming forward, I decided to get back in the race, and when I knock on doors, the two biggest questions I hear from people are, why do you want to do this? And, you know, what does a city councilor do? So I'm hoping to talk about that a little bit tonight. Why do I want to do this? Well, I want to do this because I have a passion for helping people. I've had a passion for helping people my whole life. I've spent over 30 years in human services, currently as a social worker for the Department of Children and Families, working on issues of poverty, domestic violence, substance abuse, mental health issues. Currently, I'm the foster care supervisor, meaning I oversee the foster homes for children in Berkshire County who are unfortunately in state's custody, and it's my responsibility to make sure they have a home every single night. And I don't leave until every kid has a home to stay in that night. That's the kind of passion that I have for the city of Pittsfield and for Berkshire County as a whole. I received my bachelor's degree from Simon's Rock College in Great Barrington, which I'm very proud of. I also have a master's degree in social work from the University of Connecticut. My lovely wife is here tonight. We've been together 35 years, December 16th, and we've been married for 29 years, and we were able to raise two children here. And I think those experiences collectively really inform me as a really complete person to represent you and your interests in Ward 5. Talk a lot more about the specifics of what I have done in the past and what I see going forward as we move on. But I think the 2 minutes has got to be getting kind of close.
You got 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's talk. Let's talk. So, you know, one of the things that I have heard people talk about a lot is, what does a city councilor do? And surprisingly, a lot of people really do have this question. And really, it's about being a strong advocate for your needs and your neighborhood's needs in the community. And that can represent itself in a whole lot of different ways.
Ten.
It can be making sure that public education is supported and funded properly. I did vote for the Taconic High School, which is an incredibly important project, not only for the bricks and mortar, but most importantly, because the message we send to our children and our grandchildren is that we believe in a future for this city.
Okay,
we believe in spending that money so that the future children have opportunities.
Wrap it up. Okay.
All set.
Very good.
Thanks, Jim.
Sure. In the last election, non-mayoral election, there was a 23.01% turnout of registered voters. Hopefully with the mayor's election on the same slate as the ward elections, it'll be somewhat higher. Even during the last mayoral election, it was not over 50%. Mr. Cabu, how do you think, what would you do to try to raise overall voter participation in Pittsfield?
I mean, I obviously think voter turnout is a huge deal. I've worked with different groups actually on voter registration. Some of my work with Ben and Jerry's worked with groups across the country to try and increase voter turnout and just help it make it easier for people to vote. One thing that I've been told repeatedly in Ward 5, specifically 5B, is that they are upset that they no longer have a polling precinct. So a lot of the elderly people who live in Outer 5B have been telling me they haven't been voting as often because it's harder for them to get to the polls. So one solution that we could do right here at home is to add another polling place in Ward 5, which is our largest ward by land in 5B. Stern School, it was at the fire department before. We were told there was not enough space for parking. There's a new business across the street. I was thinking about asking Green Apple Linen if we could use their parking for campaign staff or anyone who needs to use parking for the day, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind. It's one day. So aside from that, and aside from making it easier for people to register to vote, I've been going out during the campaign and helping people learn how to vote, telling them where to go, how they can do it at City Hall, how absentee ballots work, giving people information on how important it is. I'm actually going to be working with the Dooley Leadership Experience after this on how to inform people more so on what exactly we do at the municipal level, the state level, and the federal level. And I'm also going to be hosting campaign boot camps. So people will hopefully start to get more involved, feel like their vote actually does matter because it does, and get out and vote.
Thank you. Mr. Lothrop.
Thank you, Jim, for the question. I think the matter of voting is incredibly important. I think as a citizen, that is one of our most sacred rights. When you look back at the history of the country in voting, what you'll see is that originally it was white male landowners effectively who could vote, and the franchise, the vote, was gradually expanded over many years. Unfortunately, I think people do believe that sometimes either their vote doesn't count or what happens in city government is not that important. We did get, I think at the last presidential election, I think we were close to 70%, and I believe the DA's race, which was about a year ago, I believe we hit over 50% in Pittsfield, and that was a pretty hotly contested race. I'm certainly hopeful that we reach somewhere near 45 or 50% turnout because I think it really does matter. Whether it's the GE Economic Development Fund, whether it's supporting public education, whether it's taking a vote to whether or not to buy a fire truck, you know, those votes do matter. So I think we need to do a better job of educating our public as to how it is important, how it matters, and really give them something to vote for. Unfortunately, I think some people look at it as something that isn't really relevant to their life. And I think in reality, the city council level and the mayor level is probably the thing that's actually going to affect your life more than anything else. Okay. Are you gonna put a toter out?
Okay, thank you. On that note, what is your position on curbside trash removal and the overall recycling situation? Mr. Lothrop, you can go first.
Thank you for that question. When I was on the council for 12 years, this actually came up twice. And at the time, Mayor Roberto was the mayor. And although Mayor Roberto and I agreed on many issues, I've always prided myself on having an independent mind and an independent voice. And anybody who's ever watched the city council meeting knows that I'm a very strong advocate for what I believe to be the correct path. In the case of toters, maybe there's a spot where a toter could work, but I do believe that the one-size-fits-all proposal that we had was really unworkable. And even by the admission of the people who actually collect the garbage, about half the city, toters wouldn't work because they're multifamilies, there's not enough space in the road. There's a million reasons why those issues come up. One of the reasons why we've had the same system we've had is that nobody's been able to come up with a system, frankly, that's easier, cheaper, or better. But at a really fundamental level, I do think there is an issue because whether it's one size fits all or everybody gets one barrel, you know, some families are bigger than others. Some families are smaller than others. Some people can't move that toter. Some people, you know, don't want a toter. Some people don't have space to store it. There's so many variables. And to my way of thinking, you know, we want to make sure several things happen. We want to make sure that you press 911, someone's at your door in a few minutes. You want to make sure the garbage gets picked up. I don't want to be the counselor who made an inconvenient decision that every single week when you put your garbage out, you're reminded of that decision.
Thank you.
So I'm not in favor.
Mr. Cavey.
So echoing what Jonathan just said, after speaking with residents in Ward 5, a lot of them disagree with the plan that was put forth by the city. In the event that they disagree with it, I obviously also disagree with it. Their main concern was the size of the totes. So I had elderly women saying that they can't, elderly people rather, saying that they can't get their totes from their house to the curb. So the mayor came up with a solution and said that we would have someone from the city go and move their totes from their house to the street. Is that feasible? I'm not sure. I would have to see the numbers on that. But as of right now, unless we come up with a better plan, I would also say that I disagree with the plan put forth. It doesn't seem feasible right now, and it's really going to upset the lives of our residents, and I don't want to do that. I do think we need to do something about solid waste. I do think we need to increase recycling because the city doesn't recycle nearly enough, but we have to come up with other solutions for it.
Okay. We'll start with you, Mr. Cavey. Should private companies be awarded taxpayer dollars to help improve their business?
So I think of this a lot like you would look at a bank giving someone a loan. In the event that the return on investment is great and will make the city money, I agree with that. In the event that we give a company $100,000 in tax incentives and they are hiring six people who are going to make $80,000 a year and generate revenue for our regional economy, then I completely agree with it. In the event that we don't have those numbers and we don't have concrete evidence that they're going to be hiring those people or what their salaries will be, then I would say no.
Thank you. Mr. Lothrop.
Well, thank you for the question. I do want to talk a little bit about the GE Economic Development Fund in sort of round specifics. I mean, GE, as most people know, we're brought to the table, and as imperfect a decision as it was to go in this direction, we have had over $1 billion in environmental cleanup, and as much money has been spent on getting rid of PCBs in our community, it's probably never going to be enough. We still have the rest of the river to address. We have about $4 million left of the original $10 million, and we've actually been receiving this money, for the first 10 years, $1 million a year. So it's actually been almost 17 years, I believe, since we first got that first $1 million. And I think we've been pretty good stewards overall. We still have $4 million left. Some projects we voted for never happened. There was one many years ago to bring a branch of Crane into Pittsfield. Well, they wound up staying in Dalton, so we were able to rescind that particular allocation. We did have an allocation for $1 million for the rail cars that was mentioned at one time for the MBTA cars if they were going to do manufacturing on the PETA site. They decided to go to Springfield. So sometimes we do the allocations, do the numbers, we don't get that. But it is a precious amount of money. And I think it is the kind of thing that sometimes gives us leverage as a community, bringing those jobs, bringing that technology in, okay, that sets us apart from other communities.
Thank you. Thank you for your answer. There seems to be an issue with the traffic and speed on Barker Road. Mr. Cavey, you can start with your comments or views on that issue.
Okay, so it's not just Barker Road, it's Lebanon, it's Oswald, it's multiple roads throughout the ward. Depending upon the amount of traffic on the road, I have different solutions for that. So obviously increased policing on Barker Road would help. What would also help are those street signs that tell you what your speed is that are solar powered. Some people have said, can you put speed bumps in? I don't think that would be appropriate for a street like Barker Road, but maybe it would be appropriate for a side street that also has people just flying down it. As long as we have posted speed limits, we have an increased oversight of those roads with our police department, and we make people a little bit more aware of how fast they're going, I think they would slow down. When I see one of those signs, I slow down, especially if it says too fast, which I try not to speed, but.
Okay, thank you.
Barker Road is certainly a main thoroughfare, and in Pittsfield, you know, there are certain cut-through streets, whether it's South Mountain Road, whether it's South Street, whether it's Barker Road, West Housatonic. Jason Street, speeding has definitely been an issue. It does appear that the police department in the last few years has upped the staffing level at the traffic bureau. When I was a counselor 4 years ago, I believe there was actually only one officer who was in the traffic bureau, and I believe there are three right now, which has enabled us to have more of those robocops, I call them, out there with the, you know, this is how fast you're driving sort of thing. And I think that does help. But also, I think the main thing is changing public's sort of perception of what these streets are. I mean, if you're driving up from Richmond or Lenox or something and you're going up Barker Road, you're just maybe trying to get to work and you're in a hurry. But those are neighborhoods. And I think we really need to spend some time sort of asking people to remember and respect the fact that most of our thoroughfares are also neighborhoods. I mean, these are places people live, and please slow down.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lothrop, you'll start this time. How important do you think vigorous debate is at city council meetings? It seems that many times petitions are kind of fluffed off to various committees, different committees, and never to be heard from again. With that in mind, what about vigorous debate right on the city council itself? What's your stance on that?
I'm a huge fan of vigorous debate. As most people know, I'm a pretty good oral speaker, and I have no problem bringing the facts to bear to discuss an issue. And one of the counselors who's actually leaving the council now, Councilor Simonelli, gave me one of the very best compliments I've ever received in my life. He said sometimes he was planning on coming in and he was gonna vote for or against a certain subject matter, but after listening to the debate and my conversations during that debate, he actually changed his mind because I was able to bring out the facts, I was able to bring out the logic, and I was able to bring out aspects that he hadn't thought of. And in that process of vigorous debate, other ideas were formed and other thoughts were had and other decisions get made. So I am a huge fan of vigorous debate. I think vigorous debate is the thing that strips away that with which is false and fake and frankly not relevant to discussion, and it hopefully gets down to the core. And you know, I'm also not afraid to say if something is specious or demagogic, and you can look those words up if you want, but basically what that means is playing to the cheap seats for cheap votes. I'm not a huge fan of that. I think that's where we go wrong a lot of times in our community. You know, we allow something that sounds good on the surface but has no back to it to stand, and I won't stand for that.
Thank you. Mr. Cavey.
So as far as debate goes, I completely think we should be having debates. Someone might have a difference of opinion that you have, and you might not fully understand with your perspective their point of view until you have that debate. I think that in city government, we need to show civility, we need to show collaboration, we need to be open and honest with one another, and we need to be well informed. So when you mentioned sending a petition off to a committee, it's that committee's job to research, give us data, let us know exactly what we're making a decision on. I like to be well-informed, I like to do my homework, and of course I like debate. Come on.
Okay, very good. Do you think the city, Mr. Lothrop, hires too many consultants when the expertise present on the city council or from the general population would suffice?
That's a great question, Jim, and I think it really does depend. And here's what it depends on. So early in my time, actually before my time on the city council, the airport project was a major factor in Ward 5 politics. And one of the things that I really had to do was really study up on that. And I had to learn a lot. I took years of reading and learning and going to meetings. But when you're doing something like an airport project, you need to bring in consultants because you have wetland specialists, you have stormwater management specialists. You do have people that frequently have skill sets that the city just doesn't have. So I think in those areas, consultants are important. You know, the city doesn't build a wastewater treatment plant every year, so we don't have that consultant handy. You know, could we bring more of that work in-house? I think for smaller projects, I think we could, but we'd need to hire some more engineers in our engineering office. And I know that sometimes people don't like to see that. But for example, at the airport, when I first got on the council, there was a private contractor who did the plowing for the airport. And they charged the city $30,000 a year, and all they did was plow. Well, that sounds good, except for when we hired a second person at the airport, we paid that person $35,000 a year, and instead of having only the hours of plowing. We had the guy for full-time, full-year maintenance, you know, mowing, plowing, et cetera. So in that case, having the sort of the subcontractor was not beneficial, and having the person in-house was beneficial. So there's no one answer. You have to really assess what the situation is.
Mr. Cavey, what's your position on that?
I mean, going back to my last answer, I think it is extremely important to be completely informed on a topic that we're making a decision on. If we're voting on something, we should have consultants coming in and explaining the logistics of, say, the water plant, an airport expansion. I actually met with a cannabis consultant the other day who has worked in Boston, is helping local dispensaries out here, so I could learn everything that I could about the medical research. You need to know exactly what is in front of you, and in the event that you don't, you need to reach out to a consultant who can explain exactly what you need to know and give you the proper information so you can make an informed decision.
Okay, thank you. Seeing the topic of cannabis was brought up, Mr. Cavey, what do you think we should do with the revenue that the city's receiving from marijuana tax?
So there are a few things that we could touch on with that. There's a 10.75% state tax, and that state tax goes into paying like the Cannabis Commission, and then it goes back out to roads, to education, and some of that money comes here. There's a 6.25% sales tax, and there's a 3% tax that the city gets. Aside from that 3% tax, which with just two dispensaries is over $200,000 so far, there's also host fees. So just to get your license, you have to pay this host fee. Host fees start at $60,000 and go up to $200,000 within 5 years. So just with our two dispensaries, we got $120,000 in host fees. So that's additional income. There are also 29 cities in Massachusetts that were really affected by the war on drugs and really hurt disenfranchised communities. So we are one of those 29 cities that can get additional funding for the state, not just for recreational, not just for medical, but for medical research, for cultivation. All of this can bring in so much revenue to the city. I mean, we have three more dispensaries that are talking about opening. Just with those host fees, that's $300,000. Also with the two that we have open. So where do I think the money should be spent? I obviously think a lot of it should go towards education. I think education is the base for everything. Okay. I also think it should go towards infrastructure.
Mr. Lothrop.
This is a fascinating topic. I was at the city council meeting the other night when they actually voted on the compromise proposal, which does set aside a bunch of the money to sort of see what those revenues are truly gonna be. For example, I was on the city council many years ago when Mayor Roberto brought in a budget, and we had requests. We asked the city departments to give us requests, because the budget you get as city council is not necessarily what the department heads give you, it's what the mayor decides to put forward. So we on the council said, well, we want to see what the requests are, because we want to see what the difference is between what the department heads say they need to run whatever department it is and what the mayor has put forth. And that kind of transparency is extremely important. So there was one year that they asked for a fire truck, and the mayor did not put it forward. We hemmed and hawed, and we basically said, you know what, Mr. Mayor, you know, the citizens really value their public safety. We have some aging fire trucks, and the mayor added that to the budget. 4 years later, under a different mayor, we had the exact same scenario, and the fire department budget didn't pass that first year. And that was, I think, the only year we've ever not had a capital budget, because we said we want a fire truck, and he refused to do it. So we didn't have a capital budget that year. So the issue of the cannabis is this. If we have an extra $500,000, instead of borrowing money to buy that fire truck, those are the kind of things I think would be a great one-time purchase. Get that fire truck. Don't put it on the backs of the indebtedness of the city,
okay,
and improve public safety. To me, that money should go to improving public safety first.
Okay, time's up. We'll start with the two-minute wrap-up for each of you folks. Go to it. Now, Mr. Lothrop.
Oh, thank you, Jim. So thank you again for hosting this debate. You know, I had the privilege of being your Ward 5 city councilor for 12 years. I barely had a chance today to talk about many of the things I had a chance to do, which was included changing the arc of the nature of politics in this city. We used to have a series of done deals that were done before the residents even knew about it. I changed that narrative. with the airport, with the compromise at the airport. We defeated a construction demolition transfer station on off of South Street on Industrial Drive. But even smaller things, like when Ice River Springs came and they brought noise into the neighborhood because of their cooling tower, you know, we structured a deal ultimately that wound up win-win. You know, they were able to receive some benefits from the city to create job creation, and the residents got a new tower that quieted things down. That's the kind of tenacity and stick-to-itiveness that I have brought to this job. So in addition to the 12 years, as a homeowner, as raising a family, those are valuable skills and frankly, experiences that I bring to this job. And so you have a choice. I mean, you have somebody who has those experiences, who knows exactly what the job is, knows exactly how to get the job done. And you know, my opponent is new to this, obviously. So you have a chance of either voting for somebody who, you know, basically has a master's level of knowledge and experience, or you have somebody who is new to the game. So I'm asking for you to vote for Jonathan Lothrop for Ward 5 City Councilor, a vote for experience, a vote for knowledge, and a vote for the tenacity to support and advocate for you as the residents of Ward 5.
Thank you, Mr. Cavey.
So we were all new once, and I'm asking you to give me a chance. As you know, I've went neighborhood by neighborhood, street by street, door by door. I've knocked on 1,845 doors. I've listened to you, and you know that I'm ready to work for you by the conversations that we've had. I think it's time for us to come together as a community and as a collective conscience to be the positive change we wish to see. I truly believe that together, you and I can change the city for the better. I think it's time for new perspectives, for new voices, and for us to continue to move forward in the right direction. That's why on November 5th, I'm asking for your vote, Ward 5. I appreciate you. Thank you, BCC. Thank you to PCTV, and thank you for moderating. I appreciate everyone for being here, and I appreciate all the candidates for running. It's not easy to get up here and do what we're doing, but it's really, really amazing to see so many people getting out there, putting themselves out there, and again, trying to be the positive change that we need for this city. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. That wraps it up for your ward.
Good job, man.